Evening, everyone. Okay. A couple of readings from Scripture. The first is from John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his words should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And the second reading is from the book of Numbers. You don't hear too many readings from Numbers, but it begins in Numbers 21 and beginning to read at verse 5. "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live." These are all the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, it's unusual at a carol service, but I want to talk to you about snakes and biscuits. Snakes and biscuits, all right? So, I've brought biscuits. These are my favorite biscuits, right? They're digestives, just the ordinary ones. And they're not sugar-free or low-fat or anything like that. They're the full Monty, right? These are the proper. But they're all broken. They're all broken. Look. They taste all right, but they're all broken. But here's a present inside my broken biscuits. Take a look at that later. How many of you remember broken biscuits in the supermarket? I am of an age, all you children have probably never seen broken biscuits, other than you smashed them on your forehead like marshmallows or something like that. But we used to go to Wellworths. Everybody remember Wellworths? Back in the day, with my mummy. And mummy would take us up the aisle, and we never got whole biscuits. We always got broken biscuits, and there were lots of jars of biscuits. There were custard creams, there were fig rolls, there were all the biscuits that you ever wanted. But they were all broken. They were all in bits, you know, like this box of broken biscuits. So I want you to think about broken biscuits And I want you to think about you as a broken biscuit. You still taste. Hold on, I'll just check. You still taste okay. And you could quite enjoy these broken biscuits. But there's something missing. All right? There's something missing. But I want you all to think of your favorite biscuit and then consider yourself a broken biscuit. All right? You're a broken biscuit. Now, I want to talk about snakes. Now, I've had experience with snakes. I remember as a reporter, I'm in the Saudi Arabian desert before the first Gulf War, and I'm sleeping beside a Challenger tank, and the soldiers are making sure that I'm sleeping on a little camp bed above the sand, because in the sand are a whole load of nasty things that come out at night. One of them being a scorpion, and you don't want those. And another one being snakes. And we associate snakes as being really bad, okay? Really bad. So I didn't want any snakes in my boots. You had to get up in the morning and shake your boots out. They were mostly full of sand, but the odd time there would be a scorpion, and you'd shake it out and then kill one of God's creatures because he didn't want to bite you. Or there would be a snake and you would chuck it, you know, swing your boot and it would go away. So, snakes, bad, and us as broken biscuits. Now, what on earth has a snake and broken biscuits got to do with a contemporary carol service in Darlingstown? Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you, funny enough. So the first passage you heard began in John 3, and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, / snake, say it again, snake, lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. What's that about? What has the snake got to do with our gospel story? Well, the other little passage that I read from Numbers was about the people of God sinning. First of all, they were gurning. They were gurning their lamps out. They didn't like anything that was going on whatsoever. They didn't like the food. They didn't like the travel. They didn't like where Moses had brought them. They gurned. And God was sick of listening to their gurning, and so he sent some snakes. And the snakes bit the people, and many of the people of Israel who had been gurning died. And they soon realized that it was their sinfulness before God, their disobedience, their constant complaining that had caused these snakes to come. Moses had compassion for God's people, and he prayed to God. And God said, make a snake, like you do. Make a snake. So Moses got some bronze, and he made a snake. And he then, God said, now hold the snake up high. So he got a big pole, and he put the snake, bronze snake, in the pole, and he held it up high. And he said, now remember, the next time somebody gets bitten by a snake, make sure they look at this bronze one, which I have commanded you to make, and which you have obediently made, and they will be saved. They will be saved. And in looking at the bronze snake, the people realized their sinfulness and were saved. Now, flash forward to John's gospel and this little verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must also be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, where was the Son of Man lifted up? On a, shout it out, on a cross. So that all who would look at the cross and believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God sent for our salvation would not perish, but have eternal life. Because we are all broken biscuits. We are all incomplete. We are all sinful. We are all like these broken biscuits. We're still good to eat. We can still be good people. We can still be nourishing in the sense of the biscuit. Just checking again. Hold on. Yeah. We can still be really nice, but we're not complete. We remain broken. And we're being asked at this Christmas time to gaze at the Son of God who came into the world and believe in him. You see, the gospel message is so simple. It's extraordinary the way we in the world have complicated it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the next verse, because everybody in Northern Ireland knows the first verse, but the next verse is seldom repeated. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. So right at the center of Christmas is a child, which Mary and Joseph forgot on their run out of the church. All right? Is that right? They forgot. Is a child, a small baby, who carries the hope of the world within. And it is extraordinary that we have a story that you could not contrive or make up where the hero and the strongest and most courageous person in the story is a little baby in whom you have to believe in order to be saved. Because we're all broken. We're all broken. And the beauty of believing in this child held high eventually on a cross is that something incredible happens when we do believe in him. We become, I've wrapped this too well, we become whole. And in fact, we could become better than whole. We become a chocolate digestive. We become a beautiful chocolate digestive. We are better than when we started out as broken old digestive. We're now pure, whole, chocolate, full fat digestive. All because we looked at the child and we believed. And there's no other question then Simon and I can ask you, or Emma can ask you this Christmas, is that when you look at any nativity play, when you watch any film where the child of God, God Emmanuel, God with us, is lying in a manger, stinking fresh or whatever, is do you believe in this child? Do you understand your brokenness and your need of this child so that you can become a beautiful milk chocolate, whole, digestive biscuit? Which is still very nice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the child at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that you deign to come and be with us, that we might look at you and believe. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit into each and every one of our hearts and minds this Christmas. May we see the truth of the child, our need of the child, and acknowledge his presence in our lives. May he take our brokenness, forgive us, and make us beautiful and whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.